Many listeners will be familiar with the concept of an AIOps platform. If you are not, here's a definition. An AIOps platform is a data-driven system that ingests and analyzes large volumes of IT telemetry, logs, metrics, events, stuff like that, and applies machine learning to detect patterns and anomalies and automates remediation workflows to improve performance, reliability, and operational efficiency across hybrid IT environments. That's a lot. So basically, it is a platform that ingests data to help automate IT workflows. Sounds super cool, but like with any enterprise technology today, if customers don't see clear business value, they aren't buying the solution. I'm Thomas Law, the Executive Director of TSIA. Welcome to Tectonic, the podcast where we explore what makes technology business models successful in today's world. And joining me today is Wendy Woolley, the Vice President of Customer Experience and Strategic Programs at ScienceLogic. Wendy's leading some truly forward-thinking work around aligning go-to-market efforts surrounding new AI capabilities. So here we go. Wendy, welcome to Tectonic. And I want to start with an easy one here. How long have you been at ScienceLogic?
Well, first, thank you so much, Thomas, for having me. I really appreciate it. And I look forward to sharing a bit about what we're doing at ScienceLogic. But about me, real quick, I just celebrated my 10-year anniversary with ScienceLogic 2 days ago, which is kind of mind-numbing and overall. And I've really been blessed with a story of career growth alongside company growth. I've had a unique trajectory and journey within ScienceLogic. I started off as a customer success manager, and which is fitting because I'm really pretty customer focused overall and well known for that in the company. I moved into professional services from there. So I learned about onboarding and deploying global strategic customers. From there, I moved into sales and helped to stand up and lead the India Center of Enablement. And that was to scale programs for organizations, GSIs like IBM, which then spun off with Kyndryl, TCS, et cetera. From there, I took on a broader role, leading strategic programs and working directly with our executive team. And so some of those most important initiatives that we had in the business, including FedRAMP, was on that list for those things that I led. And then now as Vice President of Customer Experience and Strategic Programs, I lead our global lifecycle strategy and renewals. And so, you know, overall, my connective tissue with a lot of this time at ScienceLogic beyond just the customer was that in 2019, I started leading our customer journey transformation initiatives. And it was TSIA who got us started. We went to your research lead at the time for customer success, Phil Manis. Phil got us started on the right track. He put us in touch with Method Garage, and we were able to do the original journey mapping. What was it like to be a ScienceLogic customer? How do we train and teach our own company how to be empathetic with our customers, internal, external? And we've been on a continuous improvement of our customer experience ever since. And I've had the opportunity to lead that for ScienceLogic.
Wow. I mean, I love your background in terms of you've been on multiple functions and the fact that you spent time in sales and services, I think is fantastic. I think for a lot of tech professionals, that really rounds out your perspective, right? When you're working with customers and also when you're navigating the internal challenges within the company. So we're going to get into it. I want to start here, sort of ease into it. Can you describe some of the core capabilities of the ScienceLogic AI platform? And I think it's your Skylar AI suite, just to give people a sense of what we're talking about here.
Yeah, would love to. You did a great job earlier talking about what our segment is. But as far as ScienceLogic, we're a leader in intelligent automation and observability. And we help organizations move towards autonomous IT operations across hybrid and multi-cloud environments. And hot off the press, we were just named a visionary in the 2025 Gartner Magic Quadrant for Observability Platform. So we are super excited about that.
Yeah, great. Congratulations.
Thank you. At the heart of it, as you mentioned before, is our Skylar AI suite. And what that does, it powers our approach to intelligent automated operations. And Skylar unifies that observability, AI ops, and service context. So we're not just collecting telemetry, large volumes of it. we're making sense of it in real time, and we're using AI to drive action. And so what does that mean for a tech perspective? It's real-time predictive analytics and anomaly detection with root cause analysis. It's powered by machine learning. And all of that is made better under the covers with that event noise suppression to focus on what matters, automated remediated workflows to close the loop between detection and resolution. And all of that drives that service-centric observability so that the teams can understand the business impact of issues. Now, the way that we support that journey, because that's the technical side, we've developed the Agentic AI Autonomic IT Maturity Model. And that's our framework that helps organizations evolve from reactive operations to the future of autonomous IT. And what we do is we use it to assess where a customer is today, to find where they want to go, and then build that roadmap that aligns the technology capabilities with their operational readiness and outcomes. And it is central to our go-to-market approach. If you think about it from the outside in, from a customer perspective, it allows us to meet customers where they are. Are they just starting to modernize? Probably not these days, but are they pushing the boundaries on automation? And we make sure that we ensure that every step forward delivers the measurable outcomes, the faster resolution times, the improved service reliability, and ultimately better customer experiences. Now, from the inside out, you know, from the science logic perspective, what that does is it aligns our teams to the go-to-market approach. And that means product, marketing, sales, customer success, supporting teams like finance, HR. You know, we are aligned and we use that as that connected tissue on how we deliver to the customers using the maturity model.
And that's really, I mean, one of the reasons I wanted to have you on Tectonic is that you were talking to one of our TSI researchers, and you made this statement that AI isn't really just reshaping our products. It's rewriting the rules of how a tech company goes to market. And I think that that is a really important observation. And I'm curious, as you're describing maturity models, aligning with the customer, aligning product teams and sales teams and service teams and, you know, all that good stuff, right? What first made you realize that AI was changing the way you needed to go to market and really to shift more toward value realization?
I did say that. And it's not just bold. I actually believe it. And
it's recorded. I listened to it. I know you said it.
But, you know, what made me first believe and where it all started with what I've been seeing happen in industry, that shift to value realization, well, we've talked about it for a long time. You guys have reported on it for a long time.
Yeah, for sure.
It really came to the forefront when the economy shifted back in 2022 to 2023. Uh-huh. And what happened at that time? Cash flow became the priority as interest rates rose. Uh-huh. And what we saw at that time, and you know what's continued ever since, is that the customers continually asked, and the executives were asking this question, where's my value? Yep. And you had to answer that, where's my value? You had to give that answer as part of the renewal justification. And the good thing for us is that we had not just started that at the time that we had the economic change. We already had a team called Advisory Services. They've got an entire framework they've been running for years, understanding deeply what customers are doing, where they're going, and how we enable that. However, the shift did not start with AI. It has been accelerated by AI, for sure. Now, the other things that just helped continue to validate this for us, you know, not just it started, you know, back with the economy, but now we're looking at AI, and it has accelerated with AI. So what has that meant for us? A year ago, when we put this updated maturity model in place, we were taking a look at a number of things happening internally all at the same time. Skylar AI Suite, getting ready to take that to market, updated pricing, putting that in place, delivery plans. How are we going to go make sure that we're delivering this to the customer? And since we already had Advisory Services, we were used to answering the question to where's my value? So what we did in updating that maturity model was we put that in place. And then in Q4 of last year, we were going through the Forrester Wave for AI Ops. Mm-hmm. And that has an interview process. You've got your principal analyst that is working with you. There's a number of steps. And one of the early steps was sitting down, having a presentation, and working through what ScienceLogic does and why we're unique. And our chief product officer pulled up the maturity model slide. And what happened? The principal analyst pulled up his maturity model for the journey to AI ops and started comparing it. And there was a lot of alignment. And so that was the second thing that really, you know, validated that we were on the right path with this updated maturity model, with the contemplating AI and where that's going. And I think taking it beyond just ScienceLogic and what Wendy Woolley has seen, additionally, there was an interesting, some updates from a survey that came out. And this was CIO.com's 24th annual, it's the 2025 State of the CIO survey. And it highlighted a couple of important points that really spoke to me. And one of them was, leaders are ramping up their strategic focus this year, in part to convert early AI experimentation into initiatives that deliver measurable business results. So again, business results to executives, that's value. 41% of IT respondents characterized their role as strategic, compared to only 35% in 2024. So 6% increase in CIOs believing that they're strategic. And then some quotes from the CIO at Webster Bank. He said, the CIO role is expanding significantly in terms of helping the organization understand not just AI strategy, but AI as business strategy. And he also said they, the CIOs, are also leading the charge, educating the board and making sure everyone understands what all this means. So what does that say to me? And what's my experience been? It didn't start with AI. It started in 2023, accelerating with the change in economic times. It's continuing to accelerate faster with AI. And with that AI business strategy, as noted by CIO.com, being at that leadership level, it just continues to prove that leading with value realization supported by features is the way to go, because that's the speak that you need to get the executives who control that budget for AI to pay attention.
Every Tectonic listener is well aware I am a big believer that AI is a game changer for how professionals in the technology industry will do their jobs. TSI Research is not immune to that reality. I am proud to say that we have been aggressively experimenting on how AI can change the way we create research and deliver those research insights to our members. And now we are ready to release TSIA Intelligence, the first Gen AI model designed exclusively for technology services. Unlike generic Gen AI tools, TSIA Intelligence taps into our real-world, industry-validated data that is not in the public domain. We have designed this model to give you clear, actionable, and board-ready insights. Right now, in technology services, the stakes are really high. Every decision counts. Good decisions can build your career. Bad ones can end it. General LLMs are incredibly powerful, but you need specialized insights built on industry data that you can trust. That is TSI Intelligence. To check it out, visit tsi.com/intelligence. Well, you know, I'll unpack a couple of things you said, because, I mean, the way you're framing it to the Tectonic audience would be very familiar, right? This pivot to value realization, this fact that you can't just sling features and functionality in the current environment, all that stuff is true. I think that, you know, personally, it was very interesting. We did work over a decade ago on outcome engineering and value engineering, and I personally interviewed a lot of tech companies who, like you described, had teams that were worked on value engineering for customers. But if you look at that motion 5-10 years ago, it was very consultative. It was very custom. It was very bespoke. It was a lot of effort to kind of build and prove an ROI case to a customer. Sometimes you charge for, sometimes you didn't. But, you know, it wasn't in play all the time. And it definitely wasn't something that was systemic, right? And scalable and repeatable. I think the world that, you know, we're in now is very different. And you have to go in and, like, and I want to click into this maturity model as the example. You got to go in and tell the customer, I have a roadmap here, we have a maturity model, and we're going to constantly be getting you value all along the way. And we're going to do that, you know, from customer to customer to customer. It's not just going to be a one-off, right? Just one team that we threw in there. And so talk a little bit about how you take that customer through that journey, how you leverage that maturity model to have what I assume are these value proof points, right? You're like, hey, we got you from, you know, maybe you're very nascent to the first level. Here's the value that unlocked. Now we're going to get you to the second level. Just talk a little bit about how that actually works with the customer.
What we did is we developed a five-stage maturity model. And that maturity model is designed where level one or phase one mm-hmm. is what customers are leaving. So they start with this in phase two. So it begins with siloed IT and mm-hmm. in what they're leaving. They're moving into coordinated IT. And by design, that's where we start with customers to get ahead of where the competition is and ensuring that we're getting customers to first time to value. Because as you have shared through TSIA consistently, first time to value is super important. And that mm-hmm. is when you start looking at that value and being able to prove it. But it doesn't end there. It starts there. We then move through the machine assisted IT, the AI advised IT, that's three and four, with autonomic IT being phase five, which is futuristic. Mm-hmm. Because we know that you've got to have a place you're going. You can't cut it off with where you are. And yeah. So at each one of those stages, we've got something called SL360. And that SL360 is that validation. And it's run by advisory services. There's a number of different things that we go in. But what we have done and how we address that with the customers is ensuring that at each of the stages, starting with first time to value, in phase two, and then throughout, we can continue to show the value, and it's got to be done with proof of value and the right data and metrics, not just open-ended statements of, hey, look what technology you have. But mm-hmm. it's got to, again, be able to answer back to the executives.
And can you, for the audience, you know, click in on those types of value proof points that the executives care about as it relates to an AI ops platform? Give us some examples of how you're connecting those dots that executives go, yeah, I care about that improvement right there.
So with executives, what we're seeing out there in industry is they're looking at what are the experiences and then what are the outcomes. And so they've got value aligned at outcomes. It then goes down to the technical. So mm-hmm. it's workflows. Where's value going to be operationalized? It's capabilities, what tech data features enable value, mm-hmm. and then proof of value. Those KPIs, and the KPIs have to answer back to the executive and to the technical. And, mm-hmm. you know, a lot of it with AI these days and what we have to go back and answer is reducing manual effort. We're sure. one of our ECAB members called the soul-sucking work. And so we need to make sure that we've got KPIs and metrics aligned to both what they have to report out to the business, the promises that they're making to their leadership and board, but then also those KPIs that make sense with our solution and what we bring to the table. So there's a lot of MTT, fill in the blank, you know, some certain metrics that we have that can tie into ROI. But then there's sometimes we don't own all of the metrics. So that ROI, we can be a component of it. They can do the rest of the calculation.
Okay, interesting. And so, you know, a challenge that we see a lot here is closing what we call this value assurance loop. Right. And this is the ability that when you first go into the customer, so let's say, you know, and this again, you made this point earlier about aligning product teams and marketing and sales and services. So early in that customer relationship, you're going in and you're looking at their environment and you're saying, okay, we think we can add value here, 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 here. You capture that. And then where things typically break down in a tech company is, you know, that information doesn't always make it, you know, effectively into the service team who shows up and says, okay, what are we doing here? Right. But even if it does, the service team goes in, stands up the customer and implements your technology, and no one's closing the loop to say, oh, no, we really did get that value. And then we're looking for the next proof point. So that's the value assurance loop, right? We understand where we're going to deliver value. We make sure that the handoffs happen internally, and then we close the loop with the customer and we do that. And I think, again, that's where the bar has gotten higher with customers, that they're saying, that's what you have to do for me now. You can't just come in and sling a new platform in here. And so, you know, I'm just kind of curious what lessons your team has learned to make sure that that value assurance loop is really going to get closed with the customer. Make sure those handoffs happen, make sure that it is a closed loop. Just any insights you can share about your experiences there.
That's a hard one. And it's because I call it promise made to promise delivered.
Yeah.
And so the promise is made in the sales cycle. You've got one set of stakeholders who are primarily there during that evaluation. And so the land, you know, let's think of your land, adopt, expand, renew. So on that land, you've got one set of stakeholders and there's expectations set through that time. You also then have maybe some different players come into play as you get into that, you know, adopt. Mm-hmm. And so having a framework that is defined with KPIs and metrics that are consistent, now it's not going to be always 100%. You got to play the 80-20 rule. So Pareto principle comes in, but you can figure out what most companies need. You can work to that as a baseline, and then you can deal with unique requirements for specific customers. But again, I mentioned the SL360 program, and you know that's run by, I mentioned the advisory services. So they are involved in the sales cycle. They're helping to ensure that they are with the sales team setting those expectations. They're part of our customer experience team. So they bridge that for us within the organization and with the customers. And so it goes back to the maturity model, alignment to the SL360. And so you've got that people, process, technology that then kicks in. So there's the process of deployment. You hit a stage and a milestone. You've got the ability to go and assess. You can tell the customer, hey, let's benchmark you. How have you done so far? Are you going to be up there really being able to take advantage of AI? If not, let's make some changes. So we do both technical and we do operational readiness benchmarks, because it is both the people, process, technology, or all three. Mm-hmm. So we look at that with the SL360 and we start it early. We start that in phase two. We start that at first time to value because you got a baseline. And so from there, we have a chance to continually go through that as we grow with the customer, as they move through the different stages of their journey with Science Logic. We continue that and we can go and take a look at that at QBRs and use that as a discussion topic. We can use that at renewal time when we have to answer that question, where's my value? And it also, interestingly enough, has come into play with executive change. And so those places where we have really strong alignment with the customer, there's the value realization plan, the metrics that we're looking at with the SL360, you have executive change, new executive comes in with the playbook that they interviewed with to get the job, and they want to come in and they're change makers. They're going to come in and do something different. And so having that in place has really proven to help us. So we're not the first problem to fix. It's not to say they're not going to come around and talk to us, but that is another side benefit rather than just answering the call of where's my value, but being able to have something that helps other leadership that may come in and start asking questions.
So, you know, as I listen to you and you talk about the importance of people and process and technology, all three are important for somebody to get their environment effective here. So what's really, again, a different mindset. So historically, the technology provider, someone like yourself, could say, look, I provide the platform. Now, if you need benchmarking, if you need help with workflows, if you need somebody to tell you where you need skills development, that ain't me, brother. Go hire somebody else. Go get a consulting firm, whatever. I am in here to stand up technology because I'm a product company, right? You know, I'm not all this other stuff. But what you described there is a very consultative approach. And I'm not saying like it bespoke again. It's not bespoke consulting, but it is very consultative. You are looking at everything, people, process, and technology, acknowledging the fact that if you don't do that, the customer's not going to get the value. And again, that's not going to be okay. And I'm going to assert here that that is different than we have rolled. I'm saying Science Logic, but the industry has rolled for 50 years. And so it's kind of a new game that we're playing. Would you agree with that?
Yes. And I really think there's that, especially with the change in AI, especially with we're all competing. We're competing for mindshare. We're competing for share of wallet. We're competing for prioritization. And really what we have experienced is that if you just play the technology angle, you're just the tech.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Then you're expecting the customer to figure you out. You're how to get to success on their own.
Yeah, on your
for us, you know, we're in an industry that's been around for a long time. The company is, you know, over 20 years old. And so there's a lot of people who have experience, but they've got experience maybe on other tools or maybe different ways of approaching it. And so if you don't help lead the customer and you take the position of the customer leads us, there's missed expectations. There's missed abilities to get the customer further faster. You get stuck because you're not speaking the same language. And so being able to lead and having a framework to lead customers to best practice and the way that we can go through that maturity in the most successful manner with our customers has really been that focus. And that's really what we have seen is you have to lead, you can't follow.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, I think it's a really exciting time with agentic AI, with the automation that is going to occur in IT, like you said, to take out the soul sucking work. I mean, there's just this technology is moving fast and it is super impactful. There's no doubt about it. We've seen so many, you know, AI use cases we've talked about on this show. We've done case studies. I mean, it's real already. There's no doubt about that. There's massive ROIs here for companies. But again, the difference I'm seeing in when you're slinging AI capabilities is you can't just, again, throw that over the wall to the customer and say, trust me, it's going to be really awesome when you figure it out. they're saying, you have to get me across the goal line. And I'm curious on that front right there, because you know you are working with a lot of different customers. Where do you see customers having their biggest challenge really getting the value they could be getting? Like, what are the friction points that they're running into that you see?
Gosh, you know, some of the biggest friction points for our customers, they're the heart of keeping the operations running. I mean, you're talking your tech, your IT. And so think about AI, think about all the things that are coming to that CIO and to the rest of the teams. And so one of the biggest challenges that I see is prioritization and the ability to have the time that you need to go deliver both the tech and the outcomes. There's a lot of priority switching, context switching, being able to continue to be, you know, that technology that's going to be worked on. And especially as there is this growth in AI budget, and as you've noted, there's the decrease in what is being used for the technology to make room for the AI investments.
Yep.
And so there's pressures going on for all of us right now. And those pressures are coming into how do we serve our customers? How do we have something that we can have a message that goes to the exec and prove that we're making progress? Mm-hmm. How do we become an and not an or? We need to be in the and column because then we're and with the AI. No. And we need to look at the way we're going to market and the way that we talk about what we're doing is an and, not an or. Because if we're in the or category, we're the ones getting shrunk. We want to be in the and category moving forward. But, you know, as mentioned before, you've got to be able to answer to both the executive and to the technical stakeholders. And so having that connectedness is super important in being successful. And that's our framework that we've put together.
One of the main reasons we founded TSIA almost 20 years ago was to establish accurate operational benchmarks for technology service businesses that just didn't exist anywhere. Benchmarking is a killer tool to quickly understand your strengths and weaknesses. Benchmarking sets you on a journey that starts with where you are, points to what is possible, and identifies the business practices that will get you there. That's why I am super excited we decided to offer a free version of TSI's industry-leading benchmarks with Performance Optimizer. Performance Optimizer is an easy-to-use benchmarking tool you can access from the TSI website. You can assess operational strengths and weaknesses in multiple areas like customer success, professional services, support services, etc. And the Optimizer results prescribe specific actions to address specific challenges and opportunities. This is an amazing offer, and I am so proud we are doing this for all of our loyal Tectonic listeners who may not be corporate TSIA members. To check it out, visit tsia.com/free. You know, I think it'd be interesting to get your perspective on, again, how that buying environment is changing. Because what I heard there, you're saying, look, some of the challenges that our customers have is that there's a lot of competing priorities. there was a lot of scrutiny on budget. They're making tough choices, and you want to make sure you're, you know, in the middle of that conversation. So I hear, you know, hear that. There's a lot of tension in the system that you have to navigate as a solution provider. But I'm also curious, and this is my, I don't sell technology for a living, so I'm curious your experience here, but here's my hypothesis. I think historically, IT spending, that food chain was, if you as a provider got up to the CIO, you know, and they could spell your name and they liked your product, you were pretty good. You were pretty golden. It's like, hey, we hit the top of the food chain here. We're solid with this customer. The buying environment today, I think, is, as you were describing, has gone beyond that CIO. If you don't have some visibility, again, not at department head levels, like, you know, we sell marketing stuff and the marketing people knows, if the CEO, COO, CFO, whatever, doesn't understand the value of your solution, you could be at risk there. That it's a very different approval process, if you will, than it has been historically. Would you agree with that?
I would.
Yeah.
You know, so some of my friends who work for competitors, you know, there's conversations about that trust between CEOs. That's real. And so, you know, that's a benefit that the large companies have. There mm-hmm. is an executive relationship that transcends, you know, some of the other things that where vendors like ScienceLogic may already be in working with someone. And so I do think that right now, trust plays mm-hmm. into a lot. And so going back to that word trust, how do you instill trust? Well, you've got to show up. Whether yep. it's the technical or whether it is, you know, up to that CIO, do what you can to get up to the CEO. But it is a different buying environment right now. As we saw changes happening last year, you know, one of our very large customers who's a large global MSP, they've had multiple VPs across the business looking mm-hmm. at how they were going to go forward with AI. And at that level, they're identifying what are the experiences that they wanted to lean into. And that's where they started, at experiences, which is super high level.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they start going down from there. And they yeah. start to say, great, well, who are we working with? What do we know? And how do those companies help deliver into those experiences? And our team went through the process of trying to identify of the experiences, which ones could we attach to? And so it is definitely business strategy. It is not yeah. just tech. And it's at the high levels because we're at the beginning of something new. And, you know, with that change, the motions are changing. The decision-making is changing. It's going higher up in the organization. And yeah. it'll take some time, I believe, to settle out.
Yeah. And I really do believe that these enterprises that have been investing in, you know, IT technology for decades, and let's be fair, it's been sometimes a crapshoot for them, right? They spend a lot of money on a piece of software or hardware. I'm supposed to have this massive ROI. Maybe I got it, maybe I didn't. But I think now they really are looking for, and this is a loaded term, but they're looking for strategic partners, right? Strategic vendors. And what do I think that means? It means what you just described. They're looking for technology partners that can come in and say, this is the experience I'm trying to get. Here's the way I'm trying to move, you know, my business. And I'm also looking for someone who can provide me some vision and some insight that I can trust that's going to work with me as this whole new thing called AI comes ripping through my industry, right? I want somebody who I can really trust to help me navigate that. And again, if you're just in there slinging, saying, you know, trust me, my features are better than anybody else, that is not going to stick the landing with what they're looking for. I just don't.
Agreed. And what we did, and taking that maturity model, we actually went through a process, started last year and delivered it at the beginning of Q2. And it was a new sales program. And it was called Masterclass. And it was around value-based selling. Value-based selling against the maturity model, because we do believe that that's important. You've got to be talking differently. The week that we were doing that training was when we got the announcement that we were both a visionary and a leader in Forrester. So again, kind of going back to that, what did we see as we were going through that process? Well, we earned it and we were training people at that time. So we've taken this seriously. And mm-hmm. our vice presidents come back and they tell us, we're not going in talking tech. We're going in talking about outcomes. We're talking about the value from the outcomes. Mm-hmm. And I mean, even with one of our in our ECAB that we had a couple months ago, one of our senior vice presidents of a multi-billion dollar MSP presented. It was his turn. And he was talking about vision, where they're going, and up pops our maturity model. And, you know, they're looking at it strategically. They see that as strategic. And so being able to have that conversation, but closing the loop for the proof of value and having those metrics. And then, you know, there's a team of us that are constantly asking product, well, that's a great technology, but what's the value? And, you know, value, of course, is in outcomes and it's in capabilities and it's in workflows, but you got to have the proof of value. And we keep forcing the conversation internally to close that loop. And we're going to have to keep doing that consistently to close that loop, because this is not going to stop. It's going to keep going.
No, and I'm going to unpack a couple of things that you said here for the audience, which I think is really important. So first of all, you know, in the good old days, let's say that you were, you know, awesome in the Magic Quadrant or leader on the wave or whatever. As a technology provider, that could have been enough. You could have been able to go into an IT shop, right, or the IT department and say, look, you know, we're the market leader from a technical perspective. And they'd be like, perfect, you know, we want the market leader, and you're done. That's not going to win the day by itself anymore. So that's number one. Number two, you've put your salespeople through value-based consultative type selling, which is a concept that's been around for a long time. But here's what, again, is different. We're not talking about going in and with a blank piece of paper and talking to the customer and saying, tell me what's keeping you up at night, right? And I'm gonna figure out how I can add value to that. You said a very important thing. You aligned that training to your maturity model, which is a very specific roadmap on very specific value points. You have confidence you can deliver again and again and again. And that's a different kind of discipline, right? So I think that that's that marriage is very important, right? Value-based consultative approach with your specific value roadmap. So don't want the audience to miss that. I'm watching the clock here. I'm going to ask one more question. And you mentioned, you know, this isn't going away, right? So moving forward, what are some of the things that you're excited about that are going to allow you to make this whole, you know, closing the value loop even better, you know, or faster working with customers? Anything you have in the queue there?
Absolutely. So the way that our Skylar AI suite comes in, there's that the first time to value and then immediately right after that, and it will start to collapse together shortly, the AI is coming in. And so you've got to get the data. You've got to have good data. AI is about good data. If you've got bad data, you're not going to have good AI.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, to get the good AI, you get that first time to value, which is going to collapse then with the AI as it comes together immediately. Mm-hmm. So we're seeing that collapsing on the front end of the maturity model. Mm. And that was by design, by the way. As we were looking at that last year, it was, what do we pull in? How do we change the order of operations to continue to get where we need to be? And so what does that mean? It means that internally, we've got our messaging that has to keep changing. We have to think of ourselves as an and, not an or. So that's the technology. This is all part of the same solution, again, with the maturity over time and technological progression. And so that is super important for us as an initiative, and I don't see that going away. We've got our customer symposium in October. It's called Nexus Live, and we're using the maturity model as the framework for the conversation where they're having with our customers. So different personas, how does that work? Why does it matter? So it's used as a framework even for Nexus Live in the way that we communicate and the way that we show up for our customers. And then we're continuing to evolve those SL360 value realizations with everything that I had said. You know, as more pilots happen, as more customers lean in, as new use cases are found, as new value is identified with those use cases, because we're all learning together with some of this because it's new within, you know, the customers' environments and the way that they're running the business. We're continuing to evolve that. And it is a key component of what we do. And we do see the SL360s as an initiative that is an important and continues. We even got called out on one of our strengths with the Gartner Magic Quadrant that was released in customer experience was the SL360. Mm-hmm. So it's real and we see it as important and we continue to invest in that. So a lot of it is just its messaging. It doesn't have to be anything new at this point in time. It doesn't have to be a new initiative. It has to be lean in and continue to mature type initiatives.
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting. Well, hey, Wendy, I really appreciate you coming in today to Tectonic. And again, the thing that caught my ear is the fact that AI is really changing the way you have to go to market. And I think we covered some good ground on that topic and how it's changing. And again, I really appreciate you sharing your experiences. And I always end for our audience with the question of the day. My question is simple. Can you clearly articulate the business value of your technology solution? Cheers, everybody. Every Tectonic listener is well aware I am a big believer that AI is a game changer for how professionals in the technology industry will do their jobs. TSI Research is not immune to that reality. I am proud to say that we have been aggressively experimenting on how AI can change the way we create research and deliver those research insights to our members. And now we are ready to release TSIA Intelligence, the first Gen AI model designed exclusively for technology services. Unlike generic Gen AI tools, TSIA Intelligence taps into our real-world, industry-validated data that is not in the public domain. We have designed this model to give you clear, actionable, and board-ready insights. Right now, in technology services, the stakes are really high. Every decision counts. Good decisions can build your career. Bad ones can end it. General LLMs are incredibly powerful, but you need specialized insights built on industry data that you can trust. That is TSI Intelligence. To check it out, visit tsi.com/intelligence.